The prayer that's been offered, and once again, I'm thankful for the Spirit-filled song service, and we want to draw your attention this morning to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100. If you have your scriptures and desire to read along with us, there's some thoughts that we have from this encouraging portion of Scripture, and pray that God would bless us to be able to bring them forth in a way in which is glorifying unto Him and edifying unto you, the saints here at Union. Psalm 100, this is the word of the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I certainly believe as I read this psalm that you and I, if we're able to think on the time period in which God inspired for it to be written, I'm sure we can see the direct application of these words to the children of Israel by the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. And how these words would have lifted them up and encouraged them in their day and time. But you know, the Bible is written by one whose words have an influence well beyond the age in which they were inspired to be written. And whenever I say it was written by one whose influence goes well beyond just that immediate time, I'm not talking about just the one who penned it. The Bible was penned by men. It was written by men, but it was inspired by God. And our God is one, not just our God, but the true and living God is one whose wisdom far surpasses just one generation of time. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. And no matter what time period it may have been penned by a man he's inspired to write, it's as current or more current than the morning newspaper. More current than the morning newspaper. And here, whenever I read this psalm, there's some things that come to light about a way to view these words and the blessing of being able to view them in the light here in the New Testament age by seeing, I believe, the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being able to see some things about the place where we've gathered today. And whenever I say the place, we're not just necessarily speaking about just the structure itself or the ground in which we meet, but there's no doubt about it, because of what goes on at this particular place, I trust that we would all agree that it's a sanctified place. It's a place where the people of God come together. But whenever we talk about the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, we've got to see beyond just the walls in which we encompass ourselves and the ground in which we dwell. But instead, to be able to see the people of God and the believers in the truth and the ones who God has blessed to be able to be the partakers of the truth that He has given us in His Word about His darling Son, Jesus Christ. And here we see some things about that place. And if you leave here today and you say, well, Brother Will was just, he didn't tell us enough about the Lord. He just spoke about the place. Well, then that failure will be upon me, because I don't want to just focus on the church and just for our vision to stop there. I want us to be able to see that through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're blessed to be able to see our Lord for who He is, and able to see some things about Him. And certainly, even this day, some things that have been listed here throughout this psalm, we've seen manifest and we've seen come to light. And I hope that there's some things that we can draw your attention to be able to remind us again that this that we've gathered to do today, and the reason why we're here, it's not something that's new. It's not something that just began. It's not something that man created on a whim, but it's something that God had a purpose in whenever He constituted and instituted His kingdom, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, I know that whenever we are seated in the way and we carry forth a service like we do in this day and time, and I believe it's been done like this for a long time. I don't believe it's just strictly tradition that a man stands before a congregation. You can go back to the days of Nehemiah and see that there was a pulpit of wood and that a man stood behind it and talked to the people. It's not strictly about just tradition. It's the way in which the people of God have met and worshiped for a long time. You know, it's something that's unique. You know, the world may look at it and wonder, you mean to tell me y'all just show up and you believe that the Lord has impressed upon a man somewhere in His Word, and you just show up and listen to a man speak? Well, you know, I remember whenever me and my family were living up in North Georgia and we were considering a school to send our children to, one of the places we went to, I saw the desks seated in a square. And they were in groups of four scattered all throughout the room whenever we went in there. And that caught my attention. That was a little different than what I remembered school being whenever I grew up. Whenever I grew up, all the desks in the classroom were facing towards the front. There was a chalkboard at the front. And all the desks faced the front. And that's where the teacher stood and gave the instruction. And that lady, she was mighty kind. They were mighty nice to us. But she said, well, we utilize a learning system here where their children sit and they teach one another. And I thought, well, I'd much rather have somebody teach them who had the qualifications to teach them, and much rather them be able to sit and be taught to sit and listen with respect to the one that's teaching them. I don't really know if I want them to come up here and just learn from their peer during class. I'm sure there's plenty of time to do that on the playground, and I'm sure there's some lessons that maybe ours might teach and that they might learn from others that maybe we have to try to unlearn them from whenever they get home. But nevertheless, whenever we think about this setting this morning, stay with me here just a second. And I know it's a man standing before a congregation that's seated listening. But I want to tell you right now, it's not about just a preacher being a speaker and those on the pew being an audience. I want to remind us this morning that what we do here, from the songs and the prayers and the preaching and the hearing of the gospel, that there's one in heaven above that is our audience, that is looking down upon what is going forth here this morning. And everything that we endeavor to do is to be able to lift up a joyful noise so that He might be able to look down and say He is pleased with what has come forth this day. You remember in the days of Moses, whenever Moses was on the mount And the Lord gave him His law upon those tablets. And He told him, you better get down from here in a hurry, that the people of Israel are doing something that is not pleasing to me. And whenever they came down, he was on his way down from the mountain. It was Joshua who met him. And he said, there's a noise of war in the camp because they had created a molten calf and were dancing naked around it. But it was a noise that God heard that he knew was not pleasing unto him. But I believe the songs of Zion and the prayers of the saints of God and the gospel of truth about Jesus Christ, I believe it's a joyful noise whenever Jesus looks down and God looks down from heaven above and he sees what we're doing here and he's ordained it from on high and is pleasing to him. It's a joyful noise unto him. I tell you, isn't it something, you know, we can all remember whenever we've heard a sound that wasn't something that we knew it ought to be. The gospel trumpet is something that the saints of the Lord are familiar with, and whenever they hear something that's not right with it, they know it's a cross note. I'm sure some of those that were watching on the Facebook, with me sitting that close to that microphone this morning, probably heard a note every once in a while that said, that didn't sound like what it ought to, because that's me sitting over there by it. I wish I could sing a little better than I did, but I sure enjoy giving it a try. But nevertheless, a joyful noise, something that's pleasing to the ears of our Lord. And I tell you, our God is a jealous God, and it is His will for us to lift Him up and to be reminded over and over again about just how great He is, about just how loving He is, and just how good He is to the people of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. See, it may not have meant much to those Jews in David's day, because the Jews were unique in that they were blessed to be the ones that had the law of God. They had the prophets. They had the word of God. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Those Jews had things that not all the Gentiles had. It didn't mean that there weren't children of God among those Gentiles. And we can go to Romans chapter 2 and we can establish and prove that just because the Jews had the law, just because they had the covenants, just because they had the prophets, and just because they had those things that God blessed them to be able to have, it did not mean that God's family ended and did not extend beyond the borders of Israel. But they had things that not everybody had. They had, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the Scriptures. They had things that pointed to the coming of the Messiah and when He came. You know, whenever we read those Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, but whenever I read them and I read the response that the Jews gave to Jesus, a lot of times I think, how in the world did they not see that indeed this was the one that was prophesied about that was coming unto them? They had those things. But I want to tell you, whenever they didn't recognize Him, whenever they didn't acknowledge Him the way that He was worthy of being acknowledged, God did something with that blessed truth and did something with the light that the Jews had. And He did what with it? He extended it to the Gentiles. He gave it to a people that in the Old Testament weren't blessed to be able to have much in regards to the truth, in regards to light. There was provision given in the law that when there were certain ones from the Gentiles that would come in among them, for them to be able to dwell among the children of Israel and be able to have some light. But from the time that the Apostle Peter went into Cornelius' home and there preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, from that point until this very day, it's been the Gentile people that have been the partakers of the truth and the recipients of the blessings of God in regards to the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what the psalmist David here is speaking about whenever he tells them to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I tell you, you know, it's not just a charge and a command to the Jews. It's something that extends to us as Gentile people here in the New Testament age. You know, I used to say New Testament dispensation. But I was pastoring a very kind brother who told me, he said, well, I used to be what's termed as dispensationalist. And he said, I just got to say, whenever you say that word dispensation, it just kind of shocks me a little bit. And I said, well, I can use another word. I don't have to use that word. I can use New Testament age. We live in the gospel age. We live in the last days is what the scriptures tell us. There's not another age of time beyond the one we live in. It's eternity once this age ends. Whenever our Lord Jesus Christ returns, there's no other dispensation or age of time. We're in this age of time. And I want to tell you, it's the Gentile people that have been blessed to be able to be partakers of this precious truth. And oh, that we would just make a joyful noise unto our Lord. All ye lands. All ye lands. I tell you, the Gentiles were known. They were known as heathens, weren't they? I tell you, even one that Jesus would go and talk to that was half Gentile, half Jew, those that saw it looked at him and marveled that he'd talk to her. Marveled that he'd speak to one that would have any Gentile blood running through her veins. You know, even when those that Cornelius sent to Peter, whenever Cornelius sent those messengers to Peter in Acts chapter 10, and those messengers came back to Cornelius' house, Peter knew he had to take some folks with him. He said, I got to take some folks with me. He said, they're not going to believe if these Gentiles hear the things that I'm about to tell them about the gospel of something that we've embraced. They're not going to believe that there's any way that any Gentile can rejoice in these things. Well, I want to tell you, we live in the day of the Gentiles rejoicing in these things. And oh, I'm thankful that the Lord saw fit in His sovereignty to extend those blessings unto the Gentiles. Aren't you this morning at Union Church? That we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You say, well, Brother Will, I'm not saying anything. I'm not speaking. You're speaking. The people on the pew aren't speaking. You know, you don't have to make an audible noise for the Lord to know what you're saying. You know that? There's lesson after lesson in the Scripture about that. You remember when those angels came down and visited Abraham and Sarah? And I believe one of them was the Lord, but nevertheless, regardless of it, it was someone who came, a heavenly messenger who came and told them that a promised child was going to be born. And what does the Bible tell us that Sarah did? She laughed what? Within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within herself. I tell you, just because we may not be making an audible noise doesn't mean that our heart can't be speaking something. It doesn't mean that our heart can't be saying amen and I love you, Lord. And the Lord looked down and believed what He is witnessing and observing is a joyful noise unto Him. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's not one thought we've ever had that our Lord does not know that we've had. But whenever we have a pure thought and a good thought about Him, oh, it's a joyful noise unto Him whenever He looks in our hearts and in our souls and sees us rejoicing in Him. I tell you, our Lord is worthy of praise. He's worthy of all we can give Him. You know, we could praise Him now until our very last minute that we breathe here on this earth. And I don't think there's any of us that'll go to our grave saying that we did enough praise of our Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, I believe since the days that the Lord has standing on the brinks and the banks of the Jordan River, and utter the words that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the disciples of the Lord have continued down until this very present day, and I believe based upon that promise will continue somewhere in this world until the Lord returns. I believe that what it is our endeavor to do is to have a joyful noise unto the Lord, that He might look upon what we're doing and be able to see the things and be able to hear them and to be able to observe and say that He is pleased in such. Next verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I hope this morning that if I were to refer to us as servants, that you wouldn't become hardened in your neck at such a title. You know, sometimes when you're young, you know, I remember whenever I was young and we'd get a task on the farm. A lot of times we'd bristle at it, especially some of them. And y'all are agrarian-based people. Y'all know what has to go on at a farm and the certain things you got to handle and deal with. And it ain't always pretty. I remember I told my daddy one time, he said, well, this will help you when you get older. And I said, I don't want to have to do it when I get older. I want to be the boss and tell somebody else to do it. Well, that got a good chuckle out of him and the man that was sitting there. He got a good chuckle out of that. But you know, sometimes we can be hardened when we're the low man on the totem pole, if you will. Whenever we feel like we've arrived and we just want to have a position of authority and a position of leadership. But I'm going to tell you, such a mindset at the house of God will not benefit you very much. That's the reason why God instituted a service at the close of the communion service of the washing of the saints' feet. And I tell you, Jesus said it best. Everything Jesus says is a better way of any man being able to put it. But he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, our mindset at the house of God ought to be that we're servants at the house of God. And just like David said, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of my God. If that's all that the Lord would call upon me to be, I don't have to be noticed. I don't have to be the one that's at the forefront. And this is the very King of Israel, the one who led them in the battle, the one who was boasted upon because of the number of the foreskins of the Philistines that he brought forth. Here's the one that certainly, if he could ever lift himself up and say, look at where I belong, but yet he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of my God. If that's all that's required of me, just to be a servant of my Lord, just think about what a rich household that we're blessed to be able to serve in. Well, I'd rather be a servant in the house of God than have a position of authority in the house of this world. You hear me? I tell you, ye serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Even Jesus considered it, behold my servant in whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, is what the prophet said. I tell you, Jesus bore that title of being a servant unto His Father which is in heaven and submitted Himself and humbled Himself to the cross, even the death of the cross. Surely we can be servants to our Lord. Surely we can say, Lord, I'm willing to get my hands dirty with whatever task You would call upon me to do. And I want to tell you, if the Lord ever calls upon you to do it, I want to tell you the best thing you can do is do whatever it is that He's called upon you to do. It wouldn't be better to wait. It wouldn't be better to find a reason why you're not fit. Because I want to tell you, whenever it comes down to it, there's not a one of us that's fit. There's not a one of us that's worthy. But by the grace of God and by His strength, you can do what it is that He's called upon you to do. Doesn't matter whether it be to stand before the Lord's people and preach. I can tell you what, I was so shy before I ever tried to stand before the Lord's people. Whenever my wife and I were married, people would have a gathering together. We call them showers in South Georgia. I don't know if y'all have those down here. But that community we grew up in was notorious for whenever a young couple would get married, they would provide for them in ways that was such a blessing to people beginning their lives to be able to have some things that if they were dependent upon purchasing them, it might be a while before they get them. It might be a while. But I couldn't even bear the thought of even standing before an audience of people that loved me enough to be able to give me gifts to tell them thank you. My wife did it. And I look back upon it. And I'm a little bit ashamed that I couldn't come out of the shell a little bit and talk. I'm going to tell you what, I was as content on the pew as I could be, hearing and listening and rejoicing in the gospel. I was like a hog in slop. You couldn't have convinced me there was anything better other than just sitting there and hearing about Jesus. And I don't boast about it today, but whenever I felt like the Lord was weighing upon me to do more, I felt there's no way that that could be the case. There's no way He could be calling me for such. And I want to tell you, some trouble came upon me because I didn't do what the Lord did. And there's Bible's examples of it. You can go to Jonah and you can see where he thought that he needed to flee instead of going to that great city and crying against it. I want to tell you now, if our Lord calls upon you to do it, the best thing to do is say, I'm not the master. I'm simply the servant, and I'll do what is my duty to do in the household of my God. I'll be a servant. I tell you, I'll whatever it is called upon me, and I won't just do it. I'll serve the Lord with gladness. You know, the prophet Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You know, you can be obedient and not be willing. You ever thought about that? You can do what somebody tells you to do and do it grudgingly. Say, I reckon I'll do it. I reckon I'll do it. I don't want to do it, but I reckon I'll do it. And I want to tell you, if that's our approach towards being called upon, if that's our approach towards our servitude, I want to tell you that what the prophet said would not apply to our response. The prophet said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword. That's a condition placed upon the mind and the hearts of ones that are in the kingdom of God. That if we be willing and obedient, if we would serve the Lord with gladness. You remember on the day of Pentecost, whenever the gospel was proclaimed with such power that they heard in whatever their native language was, what the men were speaking. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's not jibber-jabber that nobody knows. It's speaking and them hearing in their native tongues. They heard what was said in their native tongues. You say, do you believe it was a translation by the men in their tongue or by the hearing? Either way, we know it's a miracle. I'll tell you, they heard what those men said in their own tongue. And the Bible tells us whenever they heard that and they cried and they said, men and brethren, what should they do? And the apostles told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of God. You come on down a little further and the Bible says that they that gladly received His word were baptized. Tell you, the Word of God makes me happy. I don't know if it does you, but hearing what Jesus has done for this sinner, there's a little bit of gladness in my heart whenever I hear it. I hope I never grow tired of hearing it. As our brother prayed yesterday, I hope I never show up at church and my mindset is, I hope he doesn't tell me again about how I'm saved from hell. Because I want to tell you that we're not only saved to heaven, we're saved from a place that is real, and that place is hell, and save the grace of God. Every one of us, because of our sins, would be in it. But because of God's grace, we're blessed to be able to go to a place and be with Him for all eternity. We ought to be glad about that. We ought to be glad about that. You know, I have a saying that I say to my kids whenever on vacation. I got it from my daddy's first cousin. You know, the sayings and the one-liners. You know, whenever we get on a trip somewhere, we ain't long out of the driveway, and I'll start in on them and say, we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? You know, they'll be about half awake because sometimes we'll leave out in the wee hours of the morning, and I'll start in on them, we having fun yet? Are we having fun yet? And I want to tell you, they'll finally come around and warm up to their daddy kind of aggravating them around. And I want to tell you, a family vacation is as much fun as it is, if you will, and as good as it is for a family to be able to get together. Don't you know, whenever the family of the living God comes together and they're blessed to be able to hear that without the grace of God, that they would be in hell in an everlasting torment in judgment below, but because of a gracious God who loved them before the foundation of the world, they can go and have a hope in their heart that they can go to heaven one grand and glorious day. Oh, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, He's worthy of us serving. I tell you, can we ever look at Him and say, you're not worth that service that I could put forth? I'm going to tell you, we're not worth the least of the mercies from our Lord. And anything we may look upon, we ought to just consider it to be a blessing that He even consider us worthy to labor in that field. That He would even look upon us, and that He'd even see anything that would be profitable to labor in the vineyard of our Lord. I tell you, that's what the hymn writer said whenever he said, here in the vineyard of my Lord, I love to live and labor and be obedient to my God until my dying hour. I love to see the lilies grow and view them all a-standing. I tell you, that hymn writer, I like what our brother said today. We know that they're not inspired, but I'm going to tell you, them some spiritual-minded people that wrote those things. I love to live and labor, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, that the Lord may look and us be able to recognize that what He sees in our heart is indeed pleasing unto Him. You know, some of the happiest people in this world, I ain't going to get this whole psalm. I've missed an airplane back home to Georgia before, and I learned a good lesson in it. When it's time to quit, quit. And I ain't going to be able to get through this whole psalm before it's time for me to quit. It's not that I don't have confidence in our brother to be able to get us there, But I just know there's certain constraints and it is what it is. But some of the happiest people in this world are people who don't have much, but people who live a life of servitude and who are content in that circumstance that they find themselves in. I remember when I was about 6 years old, my daddy had a cattle farm, and he had a pine straw operation that he ran where he sold pine straw by the trailer load to school systems around Georgia and to nurseries around Atlanta. It was a very good business for him, and it was also good for a lot of the landowners that were around us who planted their crop fields and trees back many years ago, because it would have been better for them. It got them some income coming in and kept the trees cleaned out in the course of waiting to the time for them to harvest the trees. And I can remember being a little boy up there at my daddy's farm, and I was probably in everybody's way. I've got some stories to tell. We got to tell some stories about running deer with dogs yesterday sitting over at Brother Joe's house. I could tell some stories about being young on the farm and just being in the way of folks trying to get something done. But I remember seeing a white van pull up there in that yard, and there was a family from Mexico that got out of that van and came in there and went into the office with my daddy. And, you know, now when we would see something like that, it wouldn't be odd. It wouldn't be something that would catch our attention. But I remember it back then because it was unique. It was not something I'd ever seen before. But it was a husband and wife with their two kids and his two brothers. And they had driven all the way from the peninsula down south of San Diego all the way up to Washington and picked apples, driven to Iowa and worked in the grain fields, and drove all the way to southeast Georgia in a white van without a tag on it, and arrived there in Emanuel County looking for work, and somebody sent them out there to my daddy. My daddy moved them in out there on our farm. They had no intentions of staying there very long. They just wanted to work in the fields. They didn't teach their children how to speak our language. Their intention was they homeschooled them. They had them right there. They were going to go back after a few years. But from the daylight till dark, every day, all they did was work. And I just remember thinking that, you know, whenever me and my brother were told, well, all we would have to do is to go to the rear of the trailer where they loaded the pine straw, and Daddy would tell us just to clean up the little pile. And it'd take us all day long just to clean up that pile and maybe get about 10 or 12 bales of straw out of it. And those three men could go and they could bale about 250 to 350 a day. I remember thinking, how in the world? Never seen anything like it. The reason why I mention that to you is those were some of the happiest people that I've ever been around in my life. Whenever they were out there in the fields, you could hear them talking and singing to one another. You could hear them being as pleasant and content of people as you've ever been around in your life. They didn't own the roof that was over their head. They didn't own the ground that whatever it was they were living in was sitting on. They didn't have anything to their name, but I want to tell you, they were just happy and content to be in the service that they were in and to be able to go forth in the way that they're going. And I tell you, you and I can be content like that here in this world. You know, I would, and I pray, and I trust you do too, that the land that we're blessed to be able to live in will continue in such a way for many years, and that my children will be blessed to be able to have the liberties that we enjoy in this nation in which we live in. But I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, even if it all collapsed and we're not able to be able to look at such and be able to declare such, liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ and joy in Him can continue right on beyond that point. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, that He'd bless us just to be content. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain, is what the Scripture tells us. I tell you, I'm content with the old truths, aren't you? They still make me rejoice. He says, come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. I tell you, when Paul wrote and said in Romans chapter 15, that he beseeched them that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, our New Testament worship is done with things that are alive. You know, we don't sacrifice lambs and goats. We don't have death in the Lord's house in our worship service. We worship the Lord with what He's made alive. And being born again of the Spirit of God, I want to tell you what you are, is you've been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can lift up your voices with singing. You know, coming from another order of people, I can tell you that the first time I came to the Lord's house, one of the things that struck me and stood out more than anything is that whenever families sat together on the pew and sat down, I saw youngins singing. And I thought to myself, you know, when I was a youngin in church, I can't remember singing. I didn't sing. We weren't encouraged to. We wouldn't heard our own voices even if we tried to because of the other things that were accompanied by it. But I remember sitting down there and watching youngins that at some measurements maybe wouldn't even be old enough to be able to read, and some of them not reading it, some of them just singing it from memory, some of them just remembering those old hymns and singing those things from memory. I want to tell you today, as the scriptures would tell us in the observance of the Lord, I want to tell you that our Lord will observe the things of those little ones. I believe He hears their prayers. I believe He hears their songs. And I tell you, not just talking about little children, I want to tell you, in the eyes of the Lord, that's what we all are, as little children, and singing praises unto the Lord. Oh, don't you see some of these things that the psalmist is writing about here in this very day in which we live? Gladness and service. The Gentiles being grafted into the truth and being blessed to be able to rejoice in Jesus Christ, and us lifting up our voices unto the Lord and singing unto Him. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." I'm gonna close with this. The brethren told me beforehand, if you say you're going to close and you take more than 5 minutes, you're lying. I tell you, I don't want to have it where next time that Brother James says, "Well, y'all want Brother Will to come." We don't want that liar to come out here. I can tell you, he didn't finish in 5 minutes. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves." I tell you, we believe that in a new birth standpoint, don't we? We didn't make ourselves a child of God. We didn't choose to be His. He chose us to be His. And it was Him that sent His Spirit unto us. We didn't say, "Lord, come into us." He sent His Spirit unto us and changed us and made us a new creature whenever we became alive in Him. Whenever we consider what the church is this day and what we're blessed to be able to have in the kingdom of God, I want to tell you, one of the last things we can do is ever take credit for it. We'd be just like Nebuchadnezzar whenever he walked in and saw the golden image that he built, and he'd just declare of what greatness that he had done. And I'm going to tell you, I think if you read the rest of the lesson, it'd be a good lesson for us to know that ain't a good idea to do. I don't want to be a beast in the field with claws on my hands. I don't want to be eaten of the grass of the field, but I'm going to tell you, our Lord can humble us. Same thing with Herod in the New Testament whenever he declared His goodness and His greatness, and the worms ate of him, is what the Scripture said. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Don't we believe that this morning? That we know that our Lord, that He is God, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Boy, I tell you what, how can we say that? I tell you how we can say it. It's because our shepherd is one that has everything that we need so that we're not in want. That's our God that we've shown up to serve here today. We are the sheep of His pasture. This is His. Do we understand that? This is His. Praise be unto the Lord that He would even see fit for us to even be able to be in His pasture. You know, we were tell this story in closing. We had a few horses whenever I was growing up. My daddy's good to animals. He takes good care of them. He'll go broke making sure that one's got whatever they need, believing that the Lord will provide a little further on if that's what we have to do. But you treat one like they ought to be treated. You know, just across the road from where we had those horses, we had some camp people that had some that didn't have the same mindset. Bless the heart, them things stayed in just about as poor shape as anything you've ever seen in your life. And they'd walk up to the fence and they'd look across there at that pasture where those that we had were and where my daddy had provided so well for them. And I remember being even a young child thinking to myself, I know that they got to be wishing that that gate was just open. They'd go right over there in that pasture where that green grass was and where that still water was. Well, I'm going to tell you, little child of God, you and I don't need to be standing at the fence looking out. You and I need to be thankful to be in the pasture that we're in, eating of the grass and drinking of the water that God's blessed us to be able to have. He's a good shepherd. And oh, we're blessed to be in His kingdom and be partakers of this precious truth that we have in the old Baptist church. May the Lord bless us to have that mindset is my prayer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention.